next time on the Stone Age Gamer Podcast, the battle began for third-party publishing supremacy in our first part of our Capcom versus Konami debate. The battle was long fought, and we asked all sorts of questions, and what you're about to listen to is the conclusion of that. Will Capcom come out on top? Will Castlevania defeat Street Fighter? Will we include the Game Boy Advance era? Listen on to find out.
Are we going to throw in the Game Boy Advance into this, too?
I think we do. Yeah, that's okay. A valid point. Game Boy Advance.
Because there are some good games on the Game Boy Advance.
That's going to have to be our last category, then, because Game Boy Advance was kind of after N64 PS2. Right? Game Boy Advance was marketed around the same time as the GameCube, so I'm going to say we do that. We save that one for last. So N64, PS1, talk to me, gentlemen.
I'm going to jump right in and give this to Konami right at the very start of it, because you have Symphony of the Night, and that's the end of your argument.
And agreed.
Sorry, maybe I'm drawing a blank, and I understand Resident Evil and all of that, but come the fuck
Watch
on,
the man.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably agree with you here, because for Resident Evil on the Konami side, there was Silent Hill. And there was Metal Gear Solid.
Mm-hmm.
But just to put this out there, there were also... all right, here it goes. Marvel vs. Capcom.
X-Men vs. Street Fighter.
Thank you. X-Men vs. Street Fighter, not Marvel vs. Capcom.
That's exactly where I was going. X-Men vs. Street Fighter.
I believe not as big, but Puzzle Fighter was also out on the PS1, correct?
Oh, Puzzle Fighter.
Yeah, Puzzle Fighter is excellent.
Yep. Strider 2.
You know,
anybody play Strider 2?
Yes, I did. And, you know, these are some great games we're talking about right here. So it's close for me. I got to say it's close.
Power Stone.
That was Dreamcast.
That wasn't released? They didn't have a PlayStation release for that?
No, sir.
Nah, that was a Dreamcast exclusive.
Well, son of a bee sting.
And that's technically next gen, so.
Suikoden.
All right, yes.
Damn.
Suikoden was a great RPG.
And really, the only thing that Capcom had to go against that was Breath of Fire. But Breath of Fire was really long in the tooth by that point. Breath of Fire hit its stride in 16-bit era.
Such a good game. I can't believe we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I got to say, Mega Man fell off at this point. They're at
Mega
X4,
Man,
I think, during the PS1 era.
X4 and Mega Man 8. Mega Man 8's my least favorite.
Yeah, you know, it's just...
Mega Man X4 is the Guns N' Roses Mega Man.
Yeah.
Or is that X5?
I believe it's X4.
Okay.
The Guns N' Roses one. Well, they introduced the character Axel in X7. Is that what you're talking about?
There's Axel and Slash, and they're all in there. And that is embarrassing. And I know that's a localization issue, and they're not called the same thing in the Japanese release, but... I didn't play the Japanese release, and that's – I mean, when you're talking about the – and I don't even think any of us really want to even think about what came out on the N64. That wasn't made by Nintendo, per se, because the Castlevania games on N64 are horrendous.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's
talk about it, because you mentioned Symphony of the Night being so good.
It voids everything else out, though. That's how good it is.
If you take Symphony of the Night and Metal Gear Solid, I don't see what the argument is against that.
So
I really,
you're saying,
honestly, don't. And I, like I said, Resident Evil 2, I absolutely adore those games. I think they are fantastic. Tank controls and bad acting and everything. I don't even like the Silent Hill games very much. I am way more into Resident Evil, and I'll give you Dino Crisis and the rest of that. You know, I like that, but. I would make the argument that Symphony of the Night and Metal Gear Solid trumps everything else.
But you also got to take into account their faults, because Castlevania on the N64 was barely even playable. I mean, imagine...
I can't disagree with you more. Castlevania, that game gets such a bad reputation, and it's not fully deserved. It is a clunky 3D platformer, no doubt, but there are a lot of good aspects to that game. There's a lot of great atmosphere to those games. Especially when you consider the weird kind of sort of offshoot, the Legacy of Darkness that they did. there are redeemable qualities to those games. I'm not going to say that they're good or that they should really tip the scales or anything, but don't shit on those games because they really are not that bad.
I don't know, man. I played that and I turned it off after 5-10 minutes. It was clunky. It was dark. I didn't particularly like it all that much, and I can't say I found anything likable about it.
What about Mega Man Legends?
It's okay.
It's a game.
I'm a huge Mega Man fan. I mean, my three favorite franchises are Mega Man, Castlevania, and Metal Gear. I am a gigantic Mega Man fan. And the Legends games are okay. I prefer the Tron Bomb game. I mean, if we're talking the 3DS Mega Man games, the Tron Bomb game that I don't think anyone played for the most part.
That was on PS1, yeah.
PS1. And it's really, really good. I really, really like that game. I don't know how much that game is enjoyable to people who are not huge Mega Man fans.
Yeah, I think you have to be a Mega Man fan to appreciate that game.
Well,
yeah, there is a contingency of very, very vehement fans of that franchise.
We're talking about cult following status.
Yeah.
So I got to say that's a huge argument in Capcom's favor because as much as you know, someone not a Mega Man fan would say that's not a huge deal. It is because Capcom said, what was it, last year, 2 years ago, that there might not have been 100,000 fans to get Mega Man Legends 3 out the door. And Capcom was proven very, very wrong. I believe they tripled that number, if I'm not mistaken. So I got to say, that's definitely a feather in Capcom's cap for this generation.
Well, the only other thing I have to say on Capcom's behalf is that Resident Evil 2 on Nintendo 64 should not exist, yet somehow, through the magic of compression technology and sheer force of will, they made that game happen. And even though it is not a great version of that game, you have to give credit to them for making a 2-CD game fit on a cartridge. That is all.
There is a lot of really awesome Capcom stuff. I mean, make no mistake, I really do love this company, and we haven't even touched on things like Darkstalkers, like Capcom versus SNK, like Rival Schools, like the first Marvel versus Capcom. You know, there are a ton of awesome games, but
it's not Symphony of the Night.
It's not Metal Gear Solid.
And I was going to say, more importantly, it is not Metal Gear Solid.
All right, gentlemen, let's go around the room. Dean.
Ah, God. Jeez. And this, all right, no, we got one more after this.
We got one more after
this. All right. Konami.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to give it to Squaresoft. Final Fantasy VII. That's what I got.
Oh, boo.
No, without a doubt, I am 100% Konami on this one.
Mike?
Definitely
like
Konami.
I have to ask.
Yep.
Now, and I have to say, it pains me to say it, but they do have those two haymakers. They have Symphony of the Night and Metal Gear Solid, which are two games, especially Symphony of the Night, that hold up so well today. But and I think back to what games did I have the most fun with during that era, that I don't think there is a single game during that entire era that I had more fun with than the Japanese import version of X-Men versus Street Fighter for Sega Saturn. That being said, I have to give it to Konami too, because Symphony of the Night and Metal Gear Solid, those two are the only other game that comes close to those two. Well, actually doesn't come close, but sits with those two games as far as the legends of that era is Ocarina of Time. And that's not part of this argument. So exactly. Konami takes it again.
Woo!
All right. Last category, which is really it's just bonus points for Konami at this point, because including the tie, that puts Konami at 4-2 on Capcom's list. So if Capcom takes this, they could come back and maybe we take a quick look at overall and see if we can get any more points.
Tally it up for me again, because how I thought it was 3-2, not 4-2.
Golden Age, you've got Konami, Game Boy, Game Gear, N64, PlayStation 1, Capcom is just NES, and then you have the tie of SNES and Genesis. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 points for Konami, and with them each getting a point for the tie, 2 points for Capcom.
Okay. All right. Well, we're at Game Boy now, correct?
GBA.
Yeah. Go. Okay. This is all I got to say, because there's plenty of good games on this, and I can only really think of one on Konami's side, but I can think of a crap ton on Capcom. And to start it off, it's the Mega Man series. You got Battle Network, which is huge. That's probably more popular than any other game on that system. They made like 7 of those freaking things, and that stretched all the way into the DS era. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you have Puzzle Fighter that was out on the Game Boy Advance. You have a Street Fighter iteration somewhere in between there. You also have an Onimusha game, which may be obscure. Onimusha Tactics, which is still a pretty freaking cool game in my book. And did I miss any? I believe there was also a Beautiful Joe iteration on that.
Nah, that was DS.
DS? Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that makes my argument, because the only one I could think of on the Konami side is Castlevania off the top of my head. While those games are popular, I don't think it trumps the extreme popularity of what Battle Network was.
Oh, man. The Castlevania games for Game Boy Advance are masterpieces. They are masterpieces. That being said, I would have to lean towards the Capcom side myself, too, because, you know, you had some really, really interesting ports of games, like Final Fight 1, which not only incorporated aspects of the other pieces of the Street Fighter mythology into Final Fight, but it also gave you a Final Fight with all 3 playable characters and a portable version. And you also had the stellar mishmash of Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which incorporated aspects of the Genesis Ghosts and Goblins game into Super Ghouls and Ghosts, which is pretty evenly counterbalanced against Contra the Alien Wars Advance for Game Boy Advance, which incorporates levels of Contra Hardcore into Contra the Alien Wars. So those two kind of balance each other out. But you've also got the Yu-Gi-Oh! Titles, but now that Capcom has something to face off against those with, I will hands down say the Battle Network series is straight up better than anything that Yu-Gi-Oh! Did. Even though Yu-Gi-Oh! Was more popular, Mega Man Battle Network came almost Pokemon levels of popularity during that time period. So, yeah, that's what I got to say. That's what I got to say about that. What about Dan, Mike, what do you got to say?
Well, when I think about the Konami games for GBA, and GBA may be my favorite system, those Castlevania games are, like you said, I mean, they're absolute masterpieces. There is, once Koji Igarashi was Mr. Castlevania, those are just incredible games. I will take those 3 Castlevania games over anything that Capcom put out on the Game Boy Advance.
Well, I love you, Dan.
I'm here for you, sir. I am here for you. Contra Advance, The Alien Wars, absolutely awesome game. I get what you're saying with the Battle Network as far as quality with the Mega Man Battle Network games, but the popularity of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Games, I don't know how close it was. Also, keep in mind at this point, and I'm still not sure where I'm leaning, but at this point in time, Konami put out Crash Bandicoot for the Game Boy Advance, Spyro for the Game Boy Advance, put out a Zone of the Enders on Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, but the Crash and Spyro games were not good.
Yeah, and there's one to counter that. Mega Man Zero is a fantastic reincarnation of Mega Man.
The Zero, I wasn't even thinking that. I was thinking about Mega Man and Bass, which was pretty cool. But yeah, Zero.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, the Zero games were great.
Is that also Capcom on that one?
Oh, Minish Cap. There you go. Capcom made Minish Cap, man. Capcom made developed 4 Swords with the first multiplayer Zelda. And bloody hell, those 2 games. Minish Cap's a phenomenal Zelda game. I mean, the Oracle games I kind of go back and forth on. I don't love those, but Minish Cap is just straight up good.
I don't know where you guys stand, but this is looking like I feel like Capcom's making a bit of a strong comeback here.
All right, let's go down. Let's go across the room. Does anybody else have anything else to add before we tally in the votes?
I would argue that Konami took more risks at this time, and I don't necessarily think that that puts them over the top here, but the Boktai games were what I thought were really clever back, you know, forcing all of us who like to stay inside to get our asses outside play this game. I think they're really underrated games, but the Mega Man Zero argument is a strong, strong argument.
I mean, as cool as Boktai was and as great as interesting as that solar sensor was, I mean, at a certain point, they even ditched that with the Boktai series when they made Lunar Knights for DS. I mean, because as great an idea as it was, it didn't really work.
Right,
and, and if you're going to compare contemporaries there, you've got to give it to Minish Cap. Minish Cap's just a straight-up better game.
Yeah, I mean, that's Legend of Zelda. There's no debating that any of those games were bad in any way, shape, or form. They were solid Game Boy games.
No, they are. Do we take the original PSP as part of the... this argument?
No, that's DS.
Yeah,
that's
PSP go against DS. I'm curious to know what you have to say
Capcom
about that.
Well, you know what? I say
that's Capcom without a doubt.
Yeah, I say we go into overtime here. Cause
we're gonna have to some overtime because this is just too damn interesting. But first, we got to tally the votes on the GBA. We're going Capcom. Mike?
I'm going Konami. Castlevania all the way.
Dean?
Capcom.
I got to go Capcom, too. So Capcom wins that round. Sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry, Mike. I'm with you on the Castlevania games, but...
I really am, too. Those Castlevania games are some of my favorites on that platform, but...
I didn't play the Battle Network games.
They were damn good, damn interesting.
Exactly, and I'm not saying the Castlevania games were bad, but I'm just saying, you know...
That's most of what they had.
Exactly.
I agree. They didn't kill it, like, on games on this, but... Castlevania. I gotta stick by it.
Oh, God. Tell me the next one, Chris, because I got arguments out the ass.
Let's. That sounds disgusting. All right. Let's go PS2, Xbox, GameCube.
All right. Wait. Dreamcast as well?
Yeah. PS2, Xbox, GameCube, Dreamcast.
Okay, because here it is. Here it is. Here's the big picture right here. You got Resident Evil 4. You got... because I'm not even Mega Man's out of the picture now. He's had his fun. This is done. But you got that. You have Power Stone. You have Onimusha making its full stride like debut on the PS2, which was a fantastic game. Then Capcom made Marvel vs. Capcom and Marvel vs. Capcom 2 in that generation.
Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Exactly. Those are fantastic fighting games.
Pinnacles of 2D fighting.
Exactly. Now, I'm not going to go into the Konami side because there are some good games, but I'm strictly fighting for Capcom here because they're on life support and I need to bring them back into this. So I'll tell you what, I know there are some good Metal Gear games on there, but Resident Evil by itself, Onimusha, and the Street Fighter games alone, and I know I'm missing a bunch of them on here, are good. And Chris, I'm sure there's one you're looking at right now at the list that I am too, so I'm not going to bring that one up, but Monster Hunter in Japan alone is probably one of the biggest phenomenons I have ever seen or heard of.
Oh, that's a good point. And that showed up. That was PS2, the first Monster Hunter, so that definitely fits squarely in this generation.
Now, Chris, I know there's one you're looking at on here, so I'm going to throw the basketball up to you. All you need to do is slam dunk it. Let me see if you can get this one.
Okami?
Thank you very much.
That's not where I thought you were going.
Well, actually, where you really want to follow my heart, and it's going to go to Beautiful Joe.
Beautiful Joe and Killer 7 on that system.
Yeah, Beautiful Joe, Killer 7, and Okami. Holy crap. The level of creativity that was just oozing out of Capcom during this era. Devil May Cry came
exactly.
This era.
That's another one.
Holy hell. But let's see what Konami was doing during this time period. They had a couple of very good Gradius games. They had Silent Hill 2, which was probably the pinnacle of the Silent Hill series, which I think is easily killed by Resident Evil 4, but definitely worth mentioning. Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3, which are phenomenal games. Unfortunately, the Castlevania games are going to have to take a real step back on here because as good as Lament of Innocence was... And I guess Legacy of Darkness was pretty good, too.
They were more or less just rip-offs of Devil May Cry.
Exactly. They never hit that stride. But this is also the generation that brought us Dance Dance Revolution.
Yep. Making nerds fit.
I'm sorry. There's just too many Capcom ones.
Suikoden
games really, really... They came back hard on this platform.
Yeah. Now, Suikoden 2... I mean that's your PlayStation 1, and we didn't even mention that for the PS1 era.
Yeah.
But that even further, I think for me solidifies that. But
yeah,
three, 4 and 5 all come on this generation, and they're fantastic, and their Capcom has no argument against those as far as role playing games is concerned. And I think was there even a Breath of Fire?
Yeah, Dragon Quarter, it was terrible.
Okay, yeah.
But that's a typical turn. That's a traditional turn-based RPG. I mean, going to the general. I mean, Okami doesn't really have much in the way of RPG elements, and I guess their only other real RPG was Mega Man X Command Mission, which was a decent turn-based RPG. But
I like it. But I like it again because Mega Man is number one for me.
We can argue the point that if you want RPG elements, Onimusha had points of RPG elements. You killed things.
That's true.
You leveled up. You equipped new items and everything. And I love that game so much. That story holds a near and dear place in my heart. I beat that, and I almost never beat games at that age as a kid. And I beat that game, and I love it to no end. Ugh.
Now, while I don't necessarily know if this tips the scale or anything, because certainly the PlayStation 2 Contra games don't, because they weren't all that great either. They were a bit of a return to form after the abysmal PS1 games, but there still weren't, like, Contra 4 on DS was return to form. But you really have to tip your hat to the Pro Evolution Soccer / Winning 11 series, because those were the most popular football games on the planet before FIFA got its act together, because the FIFA games were all right. But at a certain point, Winning 11 Pro Evo, they just ruled that, and that is worldwide just humongous. Soccer games / football games are there, even if they're not for me, I have to respect them as being just really, really important.
Yeah, those the Winning 11 games were absolutely spectacular. And you're right, FIFA has gotten to the point now where I would argue that current generation FIFA is the better franchise. But
yeah,
back then, worldwide, you look at the numbers that Winning 11 did, and you add that to Dance Dance Revolution, the numbers that Konami was pulling down, I don't know. Because, I mean, if you're looking at who goes against who here, if you're looking in the arcades, Dance Dance versus Street Fighter 3, it's Dance Dance all the way.
Yeah, agreed. Dance Dance was... No, well, it was.
That's the only reason arcades,
for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it's the only reason arcades stayed open as long as they did in this country. In my opinion, Dance Dance Revolution kept arcades alive to the point where even today, if you go to your local movie theater, chances are they've got a DDR machine there still.
Yeah, those things were huge. But we are running long, so we got to rein this in. So, gentlemen. Roundtable on this one. Dean.
It's Capcom.
Mike.
Konami.
Dan.
Man, this one's tough. I have to go Capcom, and the only reason I have to go Capcom, because I want to say Konami, mostly because, Chris, I know you're going to say Capcom, and I just want to piss you off. That's really what it comes down to. But the reason that I have to say Capcom is not only Beautiful Joe, which is my favorite game of that generation, but PN03, which I don't think anybody else liked but me, and probably you.
No, I'm so with you on that, Dan. I freaking love the hell out of that game.
I adore that game. And Capcom took some real big risks at that time. I am not a huge Resident Evil 4 guy. It's not my favorite in the franchise, but Beautiful Joe, PN03, the Street Fighter, it's got to be Capcom.
Gentlemen, can we go one more? One more.
We're going to have to go one more. Because as of right now, we stand at a dead tie between these two companies. And this has been a well-fought battle. But where else do we go and still consider it retro? I mean, you can get away with the PlayStation 2 and GameCube era because it's a couple of generations removed. But
no, I think we're just going to have to straight up break the tie and go last gen.
Last gen, or are we including DS and PSP in this?
Well, let's loop it all together, bring this in. We'll include all of last generation, including DS, PSP. We're not including 3DS.
So anything that is a current generation platform. So we're talking about Xbox 360, Wii, PS3,
PSP,
DS,
and
PSP.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, because let's settle this and see if we can break a tie or if it's just going to end up as a tie.
All right, here we go.
All right, I'm going to start this off just with one of my favorite games on the 360 that probably made the system for me when I first got it. I believe it was the first summer it came out, was Dead Rising. Easily, Dead hands Rising. Down. Dead Rising, fantastic game. Took the idea of Dawn of the Dead and made it into a video game. And there's nothing quite like that system of putting things together, using whatever was in the mall to play the game, and meeting all the disturbed people or survivors that you came across and everything was fantastic. And the story was great, too. It had branching paths and everything. For the beginning of that system, it was great, and that held on all the way till Dead Rising 2, I'm going to say. I'm not going to say 3 because that was next gen, but 2. Was still a great follow-up to that. And also, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because there's plenty of them on here and I want you guys to have a chance to talk, is Lost Planet. Lost Planet was a great game. Kind of fell behind, but there was plenty of awesome stuff in that game, especially the first one. The sheer size of the monsters that you fought against in that game that came across was fantastic. And there were a lot of really cool mechanics in that game that made it worth playing.
All right. Who else wants to add?
I think for me, if we're looking at last generation stuff, nothing's going to top Guns of the Patriots.
MGS4.
I'm not going to lie.
Metal Gear Solid 4 is the pinnacle of last generation.
You're stretching it, man. You're stretching it because you're forgetting one simple factor, and that's the Street Fighter factor.
Street Fighter 4.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But if we're including these platforms, then I get to then remake the argument for Symphony of the Night.
Yep.
Because I get to argue that as far as the downloadable titles are concerned.
I don't know, because that was just a straight port. There's nothing new about that. You know, I'm not including any arcade games here.
All right, then what about the Castlevania games on the portable?
And the DS Castlevania games.
I'll say that, but what?
Castlevania games. That's a point for Konami.
All right, but what about Maverick Hunter and Powered Up?
Powered Up.
Exactly.
Not over those Castlevania games.
I don't know, fellas, because the Castlevania game was good, but it was essentially the same game in my head. When I was playing Mega Man, they added new stuff. They added two new characters to
the original Mega Man, the
original game. And the fact that you were able to create new levels for that was fantastic. And then they just
play as the bosses.
Yeah, and then they totally just pumped Overdrive into freaking Maverick Hunter with all the 3D stuff. They basically did for Mega Man X what they did for Castlevania.
Yeah, and I'm not a big fan of Maverick Hunter X, to be honest with you, because the original Mega Man X, you heard me talk about it earlier, I hold that in extremely high regard, and I didn't like Maverick Hunter all that much, but I liked it better than Dracula X Chronicles, which was their 3D remake of Rondo of Blood, which is available on the Wii Virtual Console. It's just a straight up download. But in the interest of like remakes and that kind of stuff, Capcom did give us Mega Man 9 and 10 during this era, which were brand new 8-bit games. On the flip side of that coin, Konami did the Rebirth series, which is very cool, but I give the slight nod to Capcom in that regard for 9 and 10 just being so damn cool with the DLC and everything. Capcom had Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
Yeah, they did.
Which was so bizarre and so cool.
And while we're on the subject, Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 did happen, but I gotta say, for me personally, the tipping point on this one is gonna be probably Phoenix Wright.
Ace Attorney.
The Ace Attorney series came from this era, at least in America. I mean, it was Game Boy Advance in Japan, but that stuff didn't come over to America until the DS. And that series is not only is it great, but it brings back, you know, nobody else was doing stuff like that at the time. This was a resurgence of point-and-click adventure games, which I love those games. They're so clever and so interesting. And that was a brand new IP that they created for this era, which... Man, Capcom's DS output was really good. Mega Man ZX series.
Oh, fantastic.
A very solid, beautiful Joe game.
They held through with the Battle Network stuff.
But holy crap on a pita, Contra 4 for DS. Contra 4 for DS was so good.
Am I allowed to bring up the Simpsons arcade game? I know it's not really, you know...
No, you absolutely are. You can not only that, but... This was the generation that brought those games back. This was the first time they were properly ported. Simpsons, original
and
Turtles,
X-Men.
And X-Men. Good point. Mark.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
Well, if we're going in the arcade port category, then you also have the arcade version of Final Fight was ported to Xbox 360. There was more Virtual Console stuff, I think, from Capcom than there was from Konami.
And there is Turbo HD Remix.
Oh, Street Fighter II Turbo HD Remix. Valid point, sir.
Well, and I know where my heart lies in this discussion as far as Last Generation is concerned. However, I am going to throw you the proverbial bone, as it were, and bring up the DuckTales remake, because goddamn.
Isn't that technically – oh, no. No, we're right. We're still in it because it,
that
it
was Wii.
Wii U. It was Wii U, but it was but also it was Xbox 360 and PS3. Yeah. So, yeah, DuckTales remastered.
I am a man that believes in fairness.
That is a fair point.
That being said, in the interest of kind of bringing this discussion to a head here, I'm still going Konami on this one for Last Generation because of Metal Gear, because of those Castlevania DS games. That's where I'm going. And I'm with you. I love the Marvel versus Capcom stuff. 3, in my opinion, is a pale imitator of 2. Yep. And I like 3 a lot. But it's not Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Well, there's a lot of unoriginal stuff in Marvel versus Capcom 2. In Marvel versus Capcom 3, it was pretty much a fully fleshed out game with, like, no real, you know, sprite swap outs or anything. All these characters had original moves. So, in my eyes, 3 was the better game, but that's not what we're here to talk about. But right. I understand where you're coming from.
Marvel versus Capcom 2 better, but Marvel versus Capcom 2 was also. There was a new version of that for XBLA and PSN.
That's true.
So right, MVC2 right. and 3 count for this generation, but you've also got to count Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, which...
That game is fantastic. Right. That game... It's
just what they did in animation in that game.
Exactly.
Just what they accomplished in animation.
That game doesn't do it for me.
You crazy, because Street Fighter 3 is probably the best, most technically perfect 2D fighting game. I mean... Street Fighter Alpha 3 was – there's so much to say for Street Fighter Alpha 3. But Third Strike, with its parrying system, its animation, how impeccably that game is designed. I can't think of a better example of a 2D fighting game that when you see two people master it, when you think of what are the most amazing gaming moments that I've seen in the last 10 years, I think of the Evo moment. Where Daigo parried that Chun-Li's entire super move to win the whole championships. You can't recreate that in any other experience. That was an amazing, amazing experience that was born out of Street Fighter III Third Strike. And that is pure Capcom. And from this era, another thing you really need to take in consideration is Capcom Unity. Because when it came to creating an ecosystem for fans to get together and discuss and, you know, enjoy Capcom properties, the Capcom Unity exists. Konami does not have a contemporary to that. Konami does not have that kind of a fan base, that kind of a community aspect to it. Whereas even though the game got canceled for 3DS, Capcom Unity was what created that whole – people got to attempt at helping them make Mega Man Legends 3. Now – granted, that doesn't specifically tie into our argument, but Capcom Unity existing, it goes to our argument because this is the generation that it was born out of. This is a generation where we saw Capcom Unity take a fan project, Street Fighter versus Mega Man, and make it into a legitimate release with Capcom's name on it, just because it was a neat idea and they ran with it. And I have to nod Capcom as a current company more than I do Konami, because I disagree with you, Dan, on Metal Gear Solid 4. I think Metal Gear Solid 4 is the epitome of the opulence of Metal Gear Solid. It is the epitome of Kojima needs a goddamn editor, because there's so much going on in that game. There's so much prattling on over and over again. The gameplay is so vastly outnumbered by the cinematics and the incoherent story, and even the visual design, even the graphics started to get into this uncanny valley area. And who wanted more Raiden? Who finished Metal Gear Solid 2 and said, pile on more of that guy. I'll just pop open a cap and pour it into a glass. Give me all the riding that I can handle. Oh, he can hold swords in his feet now? Oh, that's fantastic. I don't care about riding. Metal Gear Solid Revengeance was very cool. I don't necessarily agree with you. And even if they could redeem Raiden as a character, that was the X-Men Days of Future Past of the Metal Gear Solid, the Metal Gear Saga. That was, well, this is probably going to be my last game, so let me see if I can tie up all the freaking loose ends I left laying all over the place in the last handful of games. And I just don't think that game worked. That was the game where I stopped legitimately caring about Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid 3, I thought, started to push me in that direction, because I was still very impressed with Metal Gear Solid 2. And that is a huge point towards Metal Gear Solid 2 as a game, because even though I hated Raiden as a character, I respected the sheer balls on that guy to give us a demo, an incredibly popular demo where we play through the first chunk of the game as Solid Snake, and it is amazing. And then as soon as that demo ends in the actual game, it's a totally different experience. And he just threw those expectations right back in all of our faces. And he was trying to recapture that same lightning over and over and over again in the Metal Gear series after that, and none of the games really lived up to that. And if you want to even take in the other aspects of that era with the PSP, Metal Gear Acid and Acid 2, turning them into card games.
They were like, Acid.
They were on Acid. Sure, that was an interesting direction to go in it, but just because it's interesting doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. Those games were garbage. They weren't good card games, and they're trying to cash in. You have the PSP, you have the portable PlayStation in your hands, everybody wants a Metal Gear game, and they bring home a damn card game? No. 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 1,000 times no. Konami gets a five-handed slap to the face for that one. I have to give this to Capcom, especially considering, and not just this is the one that's incorporating PSP, right? I'm getting ahead of myself, but
you're right.
PSP, I mean, Capcom's support on that system was astonishing. They gave us a new Ghost and Goblins game. They gave us Power Stone, finally, and even though it wasn't a new game, but it was an interesting port of it. And Dean mentioned the Mega Man games, and Konami's support of that system was piddly. It was Castlevania, and some cruddy Metal Gear games. And yes, I know Peace Walker is supposed to be amazing and all that jazz.
That was a little late in the life, though.
It was too little, too late for me. It was more of the same, and it was not only that, but it was more of a console game, which they openly admit to, because that got ported to consoles, and you can't make console games on handhelds because it doesn't freaking work. That's why the DS outsells the PSP, because the games on the DS and the 3DS are portable games. They're meant to be picked up, played in bursts, and move on with your life. If I wanted to sit down and play a damn game on a 2-inch screen for 6 hours, I would buy a shrink ray and turn myself into a 2-inch tall midget. That is not what the purpose of handheld games are, and they completely missed the point. I can't turn on Peace Walker and play it for 5 minutes on the bus. You can't do that. You need to have headphones. You need to hear the story. You need to hear the sounds. You need to experience the entire thing. The game was meant to be played on television, and the optimal way of playing those games, those handheld games, was them being ported to a home console. And that's just a point against them from my standpoint. As far as that stuff's concerned, big fat point against them. And my other point towards Capcom is going to go towards for Dark Void Zero. They had Dark Void, which was a rocket-powered, weird third-person action game that wasn't really all that good. But then they made an 8-bit counterpart to it for Nintendo DS, DSiWare, and mobile devices. And they had this whole fake backstory that they added to it as part of their marketing. And that stuff was crazy. That whole weird, this is a game that we planned on making years and years ago. And it was all fake. It was all bullshit from the beginning. But it was such an interesting ad campaign and an interesting way of getting people to use the abysmal service that was DSiWare. But it was one of the few games on that service that was really worth a damn. And when I look at what Konami was doing during that time, and I look at what Capcom was doing at that time, Capcom was starting to really embrace their fans and give people more of what they wanted, even though we haven't had a Mega Man game in years. But, that's when they gave us Mega Man 9 and 10. This is when they gave us, the ZX games. And Konami, I just didn't feel it, even though I got such extraordinary games, like three of my favorite DS games are those Castlevania games, and then Contra 4. But outside of that, I gotta give this one to Konami. Sorry, that was quite a tirade. I apologize.
I liked it.
You mean Capcom? You said
yes,
you
I gotta
to give it to Capcom.
I gotta give it to Capcom on that one.
Now, and you make very valid, you know, points, and which I hate to admit because it's you. But with all that said, I have to stick Konami. I mean, I understand the criticisms of Metal Gear Solid 4, and when I finished that game, I wanted more of it. It wasn't enough for me. The opulence of that series it's what I love about it. You know, I repurchased the Metal Gear Solid HD collection to go back and play through those games again, which I think needs to count a point here in Konami's favor. The Zone of the Enders HD collection, which if people listening have not played the Zone of the Enders games, they are missing out huge. You've still got the Pro Evo stuff, still doing very well. Losing, certainly, towards the last couple of years, but at the beginning of the last generation of consoles, Pro Evo is still absolutely fantastic. You've got the Silent Hill remakes. You've got the Dance Dance Revolution stuff still coming out. You've got No More Heroes, which is so weird and quirky.
That's Ubisoft, dude.
And No More Heroes, it was published by Konami here.
Nah, it was Ubisoft, man.
It was Ubisoft.
I could have sworn it was here.
Ubisoft published both of those games here in the Americas.
Well, fuck. Fine. Whatever. But I mean, I'm sticking with Konami. I mean, I'm even going to give them a point, even though I've never played it. I'm still going to give them a point for making a Doctor Who game, The Eternity Clock, which is
don't. You need to take that
bad.
Back.
Okay,
no,
I take it back. Fine.
That's
then
an
I'm
insult
giving,
to everything, Doctor
then,
Who.
Then in that case, then I'm giving them a point for American Idol and Def Jam Rap Star. How dare you try and ignore
stop.
Both? Oh, God. Barf.
No, they made some shit. They made American Idol. They made Def Jam Rap Star. They made the Saw video game. Those are terrible.
Capcom made Spyborgs, you know? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do?
But when you take in the Zone of the Enders, the Metal Gear stuff, the Castlevania stuff on the DS, it's got to be Konami for me.
All right. Dan, that's a one vote for Konami. Mike, you haven't really said much this time.
I haven't had much to say because everybody knows where my vote's going. Konami, Castlevania games, even the Lords of Shadow game, completely changing the storyline, still killing it.
No, those games were flawed, and they were copies of other action games at their best.
It copied Shadows of Colossus, and it brought points of God of War and all that. But that's how games are being made now. It's hit X to win. That's what they have to do.
Well, no, they don't. Because
they shouldn't get a point for that.
That's copping out.
How has Mega Man changed, though?
Mega Man changed into several different franchises, and the reason we haven't had any Mega Man games lately is because they don't have anything original to do with it. Now, I do give them credit for trying to shake up the Castlevania franchise by giving it to Mercury Steam to mess around with. You know, so you've had all these Castlevania games for a while, and by order of Ecclesia, there's no question that they're starting to get stale. I mean, as far as the Castlevania games on the DS are concerned, the high point was the first one, Dawn of Sorrow, which I think is one of my favorite Castlevania games, period. But then Portrait of Ruin, while it was cool, it was a step down from Dawn of Sorrow. And then Order of Ecclesia was, I would say, a lateral move from Portrait of Ruin because it was still a really cool game. It had some unique ideas, but there was definite serious fatigue by that point. Whereas when you look at what Mega Man was doing, you had the Star Force series, which was completely removed from the regular Mega Man series. It was, you know, still that weird Battle Network-y RPG type of stuff. And then you had the ZX series, which was a further evolution of the Zero series, and that was pretty much it. They weren't doing anything else with Mega Man at that point because they didn't have anything interesting to do with the character. Comparing the contemporaries on those two, I almost respect Capcom more. I mean, granted, what they did wind up doing during this generation was the Mega Man 9 and 10, but they took what they that was giving fans exactly what they wanted. That was them saying,
I agree,
because nobody's asking for a new 8-bit Castlevania game. You know,
I am, and I'll never get it.
That's true. You probably never will get it. But they did answer the cry for a more traditional Castlevania game by giving us Castlevania: The Adventure Rebirth on Wii. Which, while a great game, if I have to stack that against Mega Man 9 or 10, I got to give the props to Mega Man 9 or 10 because they were just made with more love and they were made on in smarter directions. Making a WiiWare exclusive, as much as it made me happy as a Nintendo fanboy, from a business decision, it was bizarre that these games were only on WiiWare. And not only that, but that they weren't marketed. Mega Man 9 and 10, Mega Man 9 was on, and 10 were both on the cover of Nintendo Power at a certain point, whereas Konami's Rebirth series was kind of swept under the rug. And some of them were definitively more successful than others. I mean, Contra Rebirth and Castlevania Rebirth were great, but they were not as good as other games in that franchise that were available on the same download service. You know, you could get Castlevania Rebirth and pay $10 for it, or you could pay $8 and get freaking Rondo of Blood. You could buy Contra Rebirth for $10, or you could download Contra 3 The Alien Wars, which is infinitely better. Yeah. So I still got to say, I hear the points you're making, Mike, and I think they're good points, and I think that there's nothing, with the exception of my anger towards what happened to Metal Gear, I really hope that franchise would have gone in a slightly different, more edited direction. But that aside, and I have to respect Metal Gear for sticking to its guns, being as the psychotic thing that it is, I still got to give the points, as much as I respect their opinion, your opinion and their position in this industry, and as much as I adore Konami as a company, you know, I still look at Capcom as being slightly more ahead of the game. Especially when you look at stuff like Capcom were giving them points for DuckTales Remastered, and Konami releases something like Rocket Knight, which is a bastardization of – it's a soulless version of Rocket Knight, of the Sparkster series.
I had fun with that, though. I thought it was all right. Everybody bashes it. I think it's not what everybody wanted, so they're just looking down upon it. I think it's a solid game.
It's mechanically it's solid, but it has no soul. It's just this empty husk of a game. There's no life to it. The visuals are drab. The music is just flat. And when you look, when you compare it to how vibrant and interesting that series was before they reinvented it with modern graphics, it's a similar situation with why I don't like Mega Man X Maverick Hunter for PSP. I feel like it took some of the heart and soul out of it.
I just want to jump in here real quick because I looked it up because I know I'm not a crazy person. The PS3 version of No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise, was published by Konami and localized for Europe and North America by Konami.
Really? Heroes Paradise?
Yeah. I knew I wasn't crazy on that. The
on
Wii
that,
version.
Yeah.
On that.
The Wii version is Ubisoft. The PS3 and Xbox 360 versions, they both had additional content that they put in them. Those were both done with Konami, but it's only the PS3 version that's been localized in English.
Yeah, and I can't give them credit for that game. I just can't, because they weren't the ones that had the balls to bring it here in the first place. You know, they were doing a port. You know, they didn't have any hands in doing in what made that game special. I mean, that game wouldn't have existed if it wasn't put on the Wii in the first place. That game's whole design philosophy, the whole reason that game exists was because of the Wii remote. And
no, sure,
Ubisoft was the company that had the balls to bring it in the first place. And the fact that it was successful enough to even get a sequel that they also published, then Konami handling an HDified port for the PS3, I can't give them credit for that. I mean, sure, you know.
I just wanted to tell you that I was right and you were wrong is really what it comes down to.
Get bent.
But also Castlevania, the HD or Harmony of Dissonance, that's more or less putting all the handhelds onto console and being able to play it with three other people.
The multiplayer in that is really fun.
Yeah, it was all right. I tried playing that with my friend Rich a couple of times. I wasn't really nuts about it. The 8-bit stage was cool.
Yeah, it brought a lot of cool things in, you know, because it just mishmashed all the games together. And with the DLC, with being able to download other characters and everything, it was cool.
We've been going on this for entirely too long. If anybody's still listening, God bless you. But we got to bring it to a vote. Current
pretty sure
gen.
It's going
to
be a tie.
I'm pretty sure it is, too. Current gen, Dean.
It's all about Capcom.
Dan?
Konami.
Mike, Konami.
Yep.
And I got to go Capcom. Shit. Well, this was a big old waste of time.
It wasn't, because to be honest, that I'm sure we've mentioned games that people haven't played before that maybe they'll look into now.
Yeah, really, what it gets down to is that this is too close to call. This right here is a, and these are the conversations that make, you know, our hobby as exciting as it is. And with E3 right around the corner, who knows what's going to change next? I mean, we just went on and on about some of the. We're comparing two of the best third parties that this industry has ever seen, and we're talking about comparing some of the best games that any of us have ever played. So even though we're split between all of us, I mean, if we're going straight up points, it's a tie. But yeah, how do we feel overall? Individually, I mean, granted, there's four of us, so this is probably going to wind up in another tie. But let's give an overall rating from each of us. Dean.
I have far too much love for the Mega Man series, Dead Rising, Resident Evil, Onimusha. They all contributed to my childhood and games I played growing up. And I was an only child, so, you know, these were games I experienced by myself because there was no one else around to play them with me. And, you know, those were really formative to me, and they rang well with me, and I'll always have a special place for Capcom. Wow, did I just, like, drop the mic and walk away? Holy shit. Do I win?
I was trying not to make some sort of joke about the reason you don't like Konami is because you didn't have any friends to play Contra with when you were a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not gonna go there, Dean. So you're a good man, and I respect you.
Oh, I see what happened. Dan, why don't you go next?
Okay. At the end of the day, like I've said before, my favorite franchises are Mega Man, Castlevania, and Metal Gear. And Konami has two of my three favorite franchises. It's got to be Konami. There is so much that I love about Capcom. So, I mean, I love the little intro jingle that played during the Super Nintendo era of Capcom games. I loved even that, you know, but at the end of the day, I've gotten more enjoyment from Konami.
I gotcha. Mike, why don't you let us know what you're thinking here?
Well, it's pretty obvious. My vote goes for Konami. My first game I played was Castlevania. Castlevania 1, first game I played, and that always holds a special place in my heart. My wife's, like, text tone for me is the Konami logo from Super Nintendo. All my friends ask me, why is it that? My favorite game series. You know, make best games, my opinion. So, and she's my favorite person. But Konami takes this hands down to me. All the way.
I gotcha. Well, unfortunately, it looks like Chris has disconnected. I guess I'll close this up. Dan, is there anything you wanted to add? Because I know Chris was all for Capcom. So we're just going to put this through as a tie. And we're going to start closing this down. So we're going to go into our wonderful plugs. So, Dan, is there anything in specific you want to plug?
Just that as soon as we get the episodes of the Brew Review Show up and going, I know we've got a ton that we're going to upload and get them out there pretty quickly for people to listen to. So make sure you're checking out the Brew Review Show, where I will rate and review different beers that I drink. And really, other than that, I want to throw a plug real quick to something that I am not even interested in, but I am currently reading The Console Wars right now, that is dealing with the Sega Genesis and Nintendo and the battles that went on between those two companies in their heyday. It's written by Blake J. Harris. It's written more as a story versus just straight information. He kind of builds the people involved, the actual real life people. Blake Harris has turned them somewhat into characters, and it reads more like a novelization of the story. And it's a pretty cool book. I'm digging it. So I think if you like retro gaming and that time period, you're going to dig this book, and it's something you should probably check out. So Console Wars, Blake J. Harris, pretty sweet book.
Awesome. Mike, what do you want to plug?
I'm actually going to plug my buddy's bail bonds company. It's Elite Bail Bonds. So anybody gets arrested, anything like that, 201-289-7703. Why sit in jail when he can post your bail?
Damn, that's good.
I know, that's catchy, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go get arrested so that I can get bail bonded out.
Yeah, you know what, Dan, why don't we just meet up in Phoenix, and then we'll just go rob a bank.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, well, that does save us all some time.
That's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
It really is.
Exactly.
Can we plug the non-existent I'm a Dan fan shirts yet?
No, those are secret. You can't talk about those.
Those are secret? Okay, sorry.
Hashtag I'm a Dan fan.
Hashtag, I'm in.
All right. Well, I got one thing to plug right now, actually, and it's actually about a comic book. So for any comic book fans out there, this will ring true for you guys. What it is big comic book writer and artist Brian Buccioletto has a Kickstarter going on for a book that he's working on called Sons of the Devil. Now, I really like Brian Buccioletto. He's worked on a bunch of DC stuff that I've been a huge fan of, and I really want him to make this goal happen. So if you guys have any money that you can kick towards him, he'd be super happy about that. He's always at the comic cons and everything. I'm really a huge fan of his work. So if you guys get a chance, go to Kickstarter, check out Sons of the Devil. I'm pretty sure you're gonna like it. And like I said, if you guys like what he's got to say, throw him a couple bucks. Anything helps. I gave him a few bucks myself just because I want this to happen, and I love funding indie projects because this is stuff big companies won't touch, and that's not always a good thing. So helping the little guy out is always a good way to go. So yeah, once again, check out Kickstarter, check out Sons of the Devil. And if Chris was here, he'd be saying, check out Nintendo Force. Because Nintendo Force is awesome. It's a magazine he writes for that he has an article in called Peripheral Vision. Now, if you guys are fans of retro consoles, you're going to love his article. It's all about peripherals of the yesteryear. It's great stuff. I would really say check it out because it's all fantastic Nintendo stuff. And since Nintendo Power isn't around anymore, this is the next best thing, if not even better. So go ahead and Google Nintendo Force and check that out. We'd love for you guys to read it and see Chris's stuff because he's a fantastic writer. The last thing to do is we've been talking about Capcom versus Konami for 2 hours, and we know we can't be the only people who have opinions about this. So if you have any opinions at all, send us an email. Shoot us on Facebook. Well, don't shoot us on Facebook. Shoot us a message on Facebook because I don't really want to get hurt or anything, and I don't think any of the other guys do.
But if you do get arrested, elite bail bonds.
Exactly. But yeah, shoot us a message on Facebook. Shoot us an email or something like that. You can shoot us an email at geeklifesite@gmail.com. That's G33KLifeSite@gmail.com. We'll definitely answer any questions you got or anything on the air. It'll be tons of fun, and we're always happy to have you guys talk to us. If you got a question for Dan, me, Mike, or Chris, let us know. We're super pumped to always hear from you guys. But that looks like that's all the time we have for today, since it's been 2 hours, and I swear to God, if we talked any more about Konami or Capcom, I'd probably cut my ears off Van Gogh status. So from all of us here at the Stone Age Gamer, have a good night.